Sometimes you think you have to choose between your guilty pleasures or consistent happiness.
But you realize you don't have to. You can have both.
This is the Wayward Podcast. Okay, we're confident with our choice though. All right. Okay.
Hi, Blippi Blips.
Hi, welcome to the show.
This is the second Wayward Podcast Live that we have done. And I love that it's intimate and fun. And the first one, we got questions like, do you like the color red? Or,
That's right. Yeah.
But these were all really, I love that we start with yes, no questions. And these were all really interesting questions to riff on. But we have alit upon the question, would you give up guilty pleasures for consistent happiness?
Yes.
Yeah. And you, so I want to start with what you were talking about in terms of how the answer may have changed who we are now and discussing the concept of happiness and guilty pleasures and where they connect with us. I think we're more aware of because of both having come from some place that wasn't the same relationship with happiness or guilty pleasures.
So what is a, first I don't now really believe in the term guilty pleasure.
Yeah, that's where, see that I love. I love when you pointed out to me that you were like, I don't like that phrase. Yeah. And I understand what people mean by the phrase.
Yeah.
So what people mean by the phrase are things that I enjoy that may not be good for me.
Or that societally was decided is not something that
appropriate.
Is appropriate or helpful, or you know, if it involves anything to do with like fat phobia or
so
patriarchy
like,
stuff.
So what's your point around those two words together?
So I think guilty pleasure is often described with food in my relationship with that term. Guilty pleasure is often a food that is not deemed as healthy, but we enjoy. And I now, as a grown-ass woman, have decided that I do not apply worth or morals to food. And you get to choose what makes your body and mind, and maybe emotions, feel best in each moment, as long as you're doing it consciously. And so that is why I choose not to think of guilty pleasure or pleasures as guilty. You take the morality out of it. It's kind of like how, like bad words. Like I don't say, when Valentina hears me say fuck, you know, she knows that I don't call those bad words. I call them words that hold a lot of responsibility because you can say them even as an 8-year-old, but you have to be aware how they affect others. And when you affect others, you have to claim responsibility for how you affected them. So you can swear all you want, but there will be consequences for your actions and your words.
Yeah.
And that's all we teach her. We don't apply morality to food. We don't apply morality or worth to body size. And we don't apply it to language.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to guilty pleasures. I think that when you say something is pleasure-filled, but it gives you guilt, you're already taking some of the pleasure away from it.
That was going to be my point, because my big relationship with this, I'm sober, and I consider myself an alcoholic, but my big problem was pills. I was a fucking pill head, and I was in pain. So self-care, quote unquote, included taking pills. And then I discovered that the pills worked for a lot of different pains. The ones in the heart, the ones in the head, the ones in the imagination, and the ones in my body. And I had chronic pain, but I also very much was taking these pills, you know, not as demanded. And they were considered, I would have considered them at that time, a guilty pleasure. Being not in pain was a guilty pleasure. But what happened was the guilt started increasing and the pleasure started decreasing. And I couldn't stop. It got to the point where it made me uncomfortable. And I still did it. But I still would have considered it a guilty pleasure. But in terms of this, I don't want to go off on a tangent in terms of addiction unless that's it turns out to be appropriate.
Sure, sure.
But the phrase guilty pleasure, if there's guilt, then I'm not actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
And if it's giving me genuine pleasure, then I don't fucking see why I should be guilty about it. Because
exactly.
Chances are, 9 times out of 10, I'm feeling guilty because I think that's what society would request of me. That somehow I would be shamed for doing this.
Do you think that guilty pleasures get gendered?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think in general, like, look at the relationship around someone who has a lot of sex. I would say it is my perception that women are far more shamed for enjoying sex and having multiple sexual partners than are men. It is just assumed that a male will enjoy sex. Mm-hmm. But when a female openly enjoys sex, there's guilt ascribed to it.
Right.
So I would say just in that instance, I think that relationship with food tends to be more
I think the relationship with food and guilty pleasure does directly involve expectation of women to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like the fat phobic part of society, where I think that men have a little more leeway to, at least in our business.
Yes.
In the industry that you and I work in, I think men have far more leeway to look however. You know, you see all sorts of people on television who are in relationships. You see men get to look old, they get to look short, they get to look overweight, where the women are always just hot and young.
Yeah. Well, and ascribe to at least a certain standard. I think also when you see a person in public consuming food.
Yeah.
An ice cream cone. If the person is female and not a certain physical standard, people have the right to fucking observe that in a critical way.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't know if it's
they
the
think
guilt.
They have the right. Yeah.
I don't know. I should speak only to my experience, first of all. So I want to back that up. I think that in my experience, I don't know if it's the guilt or if it's people's giving themselves permission to shame other people. Like, I think that women receive more judgment, but I don't know if women are judged more frequently. You see what I'm saying?
I wonder also if you see somebody that is enjoying a quote-unquote guilty pleasure and they are enjoying it unabashedly, does that bring up fears within you, and that makes you then judge them?
Isn't that, yes.
Yeah.
Because how dare you break rules that I'm putting myself through pain to ascribe to?
Yeah.
That is very much my experience. I was a very judgy person because I held myself to standards that I could never live up to, that I couldn't even understand. But I had this idea that if I played the rules of this game, that as we discussed, the name of the game was Kim Loses. Kim Loses This Game is the whole name of this.
Right.
But I had the belief that if I played the rules and got the points, that somehow I could win this game that was titled Kim Loses This Game. So when other people didn't play by the rules, mm-hmm. or broke the rules, all of a sudden I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You have to put, these rules matter to me. These rules are how I stay safe. These rules are how I'm eventually going to win the game of Kim
Loses. It
doesn't
matter that they're not awesome and nobody's happy. They're the rules.
Yes.
Follow the rules.
Because yeah. I'm trying to follow the rules so that I can be okay. And once I finally got to the point where I was like, these rules suck and I don't like playing the game of Kim loses, that I actually then became far less judgmental about the world out there and started being like, fuck yeah, get down with your bad self. Enjoy it. If you're happy and no one is harmed, then fuck yes.
Yeah, enjoy your life. So that is kind of, that's the riff on the guilty pleasures. Now let's talk about something that I brought up very quickly when then Kim was like, shut up, we're going to talk, we're going to record this.
We've decided we're going to record this. Stop talking.
I'm drinking tea right now. Can you
ASMR
hear?
Moment.
Ow, it's hot.
Don't hurt. Don't.
Did I spill?
I don't. Hold on. Let me see. Let me see. I'm reaching. Nope, you're good.
She I had knew
when I,
didn't
I ate
spill.
Lunch, yes. I dropped a crumb down my bra and it went underneath my boob. And I can't remember who we were in the room with, but I kept like scooping out my breast and being like, this is probably not an appropriate thing to be doing
and
in front of other people.
We get too comfortable with each other, don't we?
I can't remember who was in there, but I was like, I should probably warn them what I'm doing. Oh, well.
Okay.
Anyway, yes.
Anyway,
that's the kind of thing that I always think I'm going to edit out and then I never end up editing
out
because I feel too fucking lazy.
That's what you're here for.
I talk about boob grabbing. Anyway, yes.
I want to read this one more time. Would you give up guilty pleasures for consistent happiness?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about the word consistent.
Yes. So I had brought up before we started recording. So if we talk about guilty pleasures in the way we just described, which are things that bring us pleasure but are societally deemed sinful or wrong
or harmful,
inappropriate or harmful. For me, it wasn't just like drinking. I'm not sober, but I definitely don't drink as much, nor do I derive as much pleasure from drinking a lot like I used to. But I, for a long time, got so much joy and excitement from partying, not just drinking, but like just getting a high off of other people's energy, just, you know, anywhere where you can feel your cortisol rising in a fun way. But inevitably, what goes up must come down. So when I would leave scenarios where I was having that much fun, I would then feel such a low because the high had worn off, right? The chemicals come down. It's all very scientific. And then I would find my regular life so boring, monotonous. The routine of it all was so boring. But I had a lot of shit go down during the pandemic, and I knew that I needed to teach myself to find peace in the quiet. And so I did. I actively taught myself, and when I would like go for, you know, hour-long walks and think, oh, I'm so fucking bored, and this is so boring, I'm gonna go insane. And I'd be like, you just give it a second. Just breathe through it, just like anything agonizing. And I'd just be like, okay. And it wasn't that I had to like stop doing anything. It was that I had to learn how to be okay and be happy in the consistent peace. And for me, that's peace inside myself. Like my system needed to not be so addicted to the high highs. And once you get to a space where you're like, ah, this is good almost all of the time, you don't want to really do anything to fuck that up because it's very hard to get there and be okay with just the, I had a conversation actually with somebody we work with who is constantly having high highs and lives off of the high highs. And I had suggested to them, you know, it's okay to try to enjoy a little bit of nothing every once in a while. And they were like, there's no way. I could never do that. And I just thought, I don't ever want to be in a position where you're constantly seeking your happiness from extreme external circumstances. That just sounds like a recipe for fucking disaster to me. And I feel like I was headed down there. And I don't say that in a dark way of like I was heading down a road of addiction necessarily. I mean that as in when you put yourself in a scenario where you're constantly seeking external highs, you're fucked. It's not any different than addiction.
Yeah, because you have no control over that. Yeah. You can't, you just are constantly like throwing spaghetti against the wall and hoping something fucking sticks.
And you'll chase that forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not, see, for me, the word that stands out in this is happiness. Because I didn't know what happiness was. I had a lot of like things I thought I wanted that were according, that looked like success, that looked like that. I never fucking, like, for consistent happiness, I did give up all my guilty pleasures for consistent happiness. I get except for shooting Botox in my face. That is still a quote unquote guilty pleasure that I do because I like to look in the mirror and not be like, I can only look at myself when I'm when my hair is wrapped in a towel.
I don't think there's anything you need to feel guilty about that.
Yeah. See, that's I don't. But everything else, I get. We moved out of Los Angeles. I don't have an agent. I don't really. I mean, like. Thank God my friends give me work occasionally, so I still have health insurance, but I don't buy clothes anymore. I'm recycling everything. I don't fucking care because I get to go play with baby goats on a daily basis. I feel happier than I have ever felt in my life.
Isn't that amazing?
And I have given up
You've so much
everything.
Less. Yeah.
I have so much less.
I mean, in certain
Yes, we do. We do have a house.
You do have a
beautiful
house.
We used to live in an apartment,
yes.
But we lived in an apartment in Los Feliz, and now I live in a house in a place that doesn't even. It's not even a town. It's so small.
You, I guess, I should say you have less than what society would deem as abundant.
Yeah, and in terms of would you give up your guilty pleasures to achieve consistent happiness? Like, well, yeah, I did. As soon as I figured out what happiness looked like to me. And I had to honor the fact that for me, happiness does not look like what the world told me it should. So once I figured out what truly
I still fight that. I'll be honest.
Yeah?
I still fight that. I don't know if this is related. But I think that I sometimes am like, okay, I'm okay, but I still should be having this. I still should be getting this.
We just talked about being
wanting
productive,
yeah.
Doing something. Like, sitting outside and appreciating the fact that I can see stars is doing something.
Yeah.
That's consistent happiness to me. And I don't really, I mean, I don't feel guilt about my pleasures anymore.
What are your current quote-unquote guilty pleasures other than Botox? Would you say like your love of cheese is a guilty pleasure?
No.
And if you didn't know this, Kim has a love affair with cheese.
I have an obscene love of cheese.
Somebody yesterday at the PJ party.
Sydney did it.
What's your name? Sydney?
Sydney Ray. So, I'm sorry,
I had some
Ray.
Of that cheese. We all sat around with, it was Tim Amundsen, his wife Allison, me and Kim after... He devoured that cheese. I don't even know if we put a...
No, because I was up at 4 a.m. still eating that cheese.
Thank God for the cheese.
So
Kim has a love of cheese was my point.
I do love dairy. I've got an ice cream maker. I've learned how to make ice cream. So eating a lot
I just ordered a Ninja Creamy.
Oh,
do you guys
okay.
know what that is? Have you used it? Oh, my God. It's going to get in the mail tomorrow. Like, this is not an ice cream maker. However... You can put any liquid and flavor, and I get excited because I like to make like protein ice cream, and you can just put whatever in a thing, freeze it, and then you put it in this thing, and it makes it ice cream. And you can make mix-ins. Anyway, I am unreasonably excited. But Kim has an actual ice cream maker.
Yes.
Have you made more ice cream since last we chatted?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Did I tell you about the chocolate peanut butter malt ball ice cream?
No.
Yeah.
So how do you just add malt balls to it? I know we're getting off topic, but this is important.
No, no, it is a whole thing. You've got to make the custard. So you make the,
Jesus.
You got to make sure the yolks are cooked but not curdled, and then the malted milk goes in the base, and that gets refrigerated, and then I mix the peanut butter mixture, so it's got to be thick enough so that it will stay, it won't blend into it, and then the chocolate fudge mixture, and so then you freeze the malt base, and then at the very end you put in the peanut butter and the chocolate so it doesn't blend in, but it's still, and then you get it frozen. Yes.
Shit. See, I am not, I also don't cook, like, at all. I will if I have to, but it's going to be like air fried potatoes and steamed vegetables and some pretty...
That's delicious.
It's fine. That's what I call my dinners. They're fine.
I love air fried potatoes.
I do love air fried. I mean, air fried potatoes. Potatoes are a superfood. They are a staple in our house. We're obsessed with potatoes.
So fucking good. So yes, I will... All right.
Okay, guilty pleasure. So yes.
Yeah.
Would you say cheese is a guilty pleasure? Ice cream?
If it is harmful to me, like cheese is probably harmful.
I think everything in moderation is not that harmful.
Yeah, and so the other thing is this is where I remember having a conversation in the green room about animals going extinct. Everybody else was talking, and I was not. And then I go, yeah, but like the last polar bear doesn't know he's the last polar bear. He's just a polar bear, and he's going to die someday.
I remember this conversation.
And Jason Mans, there's a long silence because I did, as I usually do, make things right. Jason looks at me and goes, Kim, I love the fact that to you, that's a cheerful idea. Like, it's not. That's not a cheerful idea. I think it's a lovely idea. So I feel the same way about, like, the things that are not good for me. Like, something is going to kill me. I should enjoy my life in the meantime.
Yes, I think that is a valid statement.
But that's also the
excuse I gave myself. It's a very YOLO statement.
But that is also the excuse I gave myself for taking a fistful of drugs before I would go to bed, chasing it with a beer, and thinking, I probably am not going to wake up tomorrow.
And that brings me back to, I think, this point of, like, I felt the same way about when I would leave town. I'd be like, I'm away from my child. So the concern of, like, being a terrible parent isn't there. I was like, I'm a let loose. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to enjoy myself. And I did. And I do not feel any guilt or shame about those years that I spent partying at all. But the issue that I had was when I took all of that excitement away, what was left was not enjoyable.
Yeah, because didn't you originally say, like, if you are having guilt around a pleasure, it means you have something to look at. It doesn't mean that there should be no guilt.
Having guilt around a pleasure, you should have something.
Then you have something to look at. So could I be giving myself pleasure in a better way? Could I be filling that? Because I truly believe that every need I have deserves to be met. However, if I'm having guilt around the way I'm meeting it, maybe there's a better way to meet my needs. Maybe there's there's a more loving way to myself to meet my needs. It isn't like so much of what my young programming was, I want that. That's bad for you. You can't have it.
Sure. Yeah.
And now what I try to think of is, I want that. Wow, that's bad for you. So what about it could you get in a way that isn't bad for you, that won't do harm for you?
Or to go with that, oh, that's bad for you. Is it? Like,
yes. Yeah.
I guess there's a difference between bad and what guilt is. If the guilt is externally, like, pressed onto you, that's different than, like, internally feeling guilty for some reason.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I think there's a difference between this will contribute to harm to your body or another person's body or experience, and this will make me feel guilty because I feel like I should be doing 5 miles a day, and instead I'm going to sit and binge Netflix.
That's right.
Like, that's not, those are two different things of guilt. But either of them are great to look at.
Yeah.
Because if I'm feeling guilty because I'm doing harm to my body, then how can you treat yourself with more love? If I'm feeling guilty because I'm not doing 5 miles a day and instead I'm binging Netflix, then how can you give yourself permission to be gentle with what makes you happy?
Or how can you find a way to have pleasure from both? I think that's maybe my point, is if I don't believe in guilty pleasures, I'm not sober, I still like to party and have excitement in my life, how can I make sure that I find a way to live where I can have the quote-unquote guilty pleasures while also having consistent happiness? That, I think, is the eternal challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't, you can't, I mean, I know this question poses, would you rather have one or the other? I think the ultimate goal for all of us would be able to find a way to have both.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right. Did we just do it, or do you want to do it again? Okay.